Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 4. And our catechism portion this evening is Lord's Day 39, which can be found in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnals. It's on page 52 in the back of the Psalter hymnals and deals with, of course, the fifth commandment. And we're asked the question, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? And we are taught to confess that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. And so in connection with that, I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. So note that God writes many things in the scriptures, addresses many people in the scriptures, but included in that are children. And so in particular, God signals them out in this passage in Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, which is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the importance of the subject before us this evening is seen, first of all, in the place of this commandment in the Ten Commandments. So after the first four commandments that speak about our relationship with God, the second table of the law begins with this command. Honor your father and mother. And so that, in and of itself, shows how foundational this commandment is. Such that if we don't get this right, in a sense, it's pointless going on to the other commandments in the second table of the law. I mean, if we don't have respect for our parents, why would anyone else expect that we would show respect to them? If I don't care for the very people that gave me life, the very people that took care of me from the most basic needs of carrying me around because I can't walk, protecting me, feeding me, without any cost, then who else does more for us than our parents? And so even after that, having grown up in their midst and received all of these blessings, and then we have the audacity to turn around to them and not obey them and go directly against what they say and think they know nothing and I know everything, then what other relationship are we going to show respect? Going to show respect to strangers, to our teachers, to the police, to other people in authority over us? Not a chance. Absolutely not a chance. And that's why in the commandment, not only does it address that we are to honor our parents, but then it adds, because that's going to come to all those in authority. This applies to all those that God puts in authority over us. And so how will we be prepared to do that? How will we be equipped to do that? Other than learning it early. That's the way we think about teaching children, isn't it? We start them early. I mean, the communists wanted our children early so they can indoctrinate them the way that they were to think and act. Well, that's the way it is here, but in a positive way. Now we're to have our children early. And they're to be taught. They're to be raised in the fear of the Lord. They ought to be raised in understanding how wonderful our God is and how wonderful His Word is and how it works effectively and wonderfully in relationships. So that we see in our relationship with our parents where we can learn and when we can make mistakes but then are forgiven and we learn. And we learn by practice in the home, in the safety of the home. It's in the home when we go astray. We're surrounded by love. We're surrounded by people whose hearts are full of care for us. And so they forgive us. They bear a lot of challenges that we bring to them, but they keep on loving. They keep on loving. You're not going to have that when you go into society. No, other people in authority are not going to be as patient and kind and long-suffering as your parents were. No, here's a safe environment to learn and to solidify oneself in these ways of God, so that we are equipped when we go outside. But you skip this, then you're going to be in difficulties. And certainly our society is an example of that. I mean, the unbelievers, even in our society, lament the fact that there's a breakdown in the family structure. And it doesn't take a genius, because they figure out that when the family is in that state, that affects every other area of society. And so it affects our country, affects the workplace, affects the schools, affects our colleges. And so it's important then that we take to heart what this commandment teaches and that our children take it to heart. That our children understand this is the environment in which God wants to equip you with His wisdom in a safe environment so that you can grow to be wise to salvation, but wise also to the way that we are to act and behave in this world if we are going to be faithful witnesses of His. And people and agents of change with respect to the gospel. So first of all, as we look at this command, let us understand, first of all, exactly that. It is a command of God. I mean, it's not an option. God is not saying, well, let me give you some advice. This might be a good way to go. That's not what God says. God tells them that you have to honor your parents. You have to honor your mother and father. And that was the rule of the land of the Israelites. Children needed to obey and honor their parents. That doesn't mean that, you know, if children misbehaved and that was it, that was the last straw, and they were, you know, severely punished. But there was a severity to break in this command, because it is so foundational. And so if there was a family and their son was so stubborn and he wouldn't listen to them, and they were kind and patient with him, but he still wouldn't listen, in the end, they would go to the elders and say, this son of ours is stubborn and he won't listen. And in terms of evidence, yes, the parents would say so, but I'm saying that kind of attitude towards parents doesn't stay within the home. Other people get to hear it and see it as well. And so that son was stoned to death. And we might think, well, what a harsh, you know, treatment. But then there are many passages that you can read that we would say, oh, that's a harsh treatment. But let me quickly tell you, that was God's verdict. And I say that because it's so foundational to society, and especially God's people in God's kingdom, as it were, that needed to be a light and salt to the other nations of the world, Now, this commandment was to be taken seriously. And so children needed to be taught. They needed to obey. They needed to understand that this was God's country and they were being taught the things of God. And when they rebelled against him, that was a very serious, serious issue. Notice that it does not say, parents, make your children honor you. Parents, threaten your children so that they'll behave. No, it's addressed to children. Children are to honor their parents. It ought to come from the heart. It ought to come because this is a command of God, our Creator. This is a way that we ought to behave. This is a way that we ought to relate to our parents. Not parents like, you know, people that have power over us, that they intimidate us and they put the fear of God into us, and therefore we are so fearful of them that we do whatever they say. But in our hearts, we really don't honor them. So God is calling you to take that upon yourself. God is calling you as children. If it wasn't fitting to say those things to children, say, well, they're too young to know that. Well, God obviously didn't think so. He addressed them in the Ten Commandments, and Paul addresses them in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, listen, I'm talking to you. This is something that you have to understand. This is something that you have to receive and respond to. Obey your parents. For this is right. Not just in terms of society, that's what, you know, the population of parents think, and therefore we ought to do that. No, no, no. Because this is right. Well, under what metric is it right? It's right because God commanded it in the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's the first commandment with a promise. So all the credentials of that command of God are clearly laid out for us as an encouragement to us. As Moses said to the people, I lay out before you today life and death, choose life. That's what God is saying to our children. This is a way of life. Not that you earn salvation. We're not saying that, obviously. This is the way that God lays out for us. This is a path that God has prepared for us so that we might benefit, that we might be taught how it is that we are to learn to obey God. Because going on from the analogy that I've mentioned, that when we disobey our parents, then no other authority stands a chance. But the more dangerous effects of failure to honor our parents is that we don't honor God. Then we don't honor God. Because here, tangibly, we see all that they do for us. But we don't see it with respect to God. Yes, God is in control of everything that we do. He does watch over everything we do. But it's not in a tangible way that we have in our homes. And so when we see it tangibly, all that is done for us, and we don't honor them, we're not going to honor God either. So it's not just in terms of the effect that it had on society, it's the effect that it has on them in their relationship with their Heavenly Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And so God lovingly then provides this path upon which our children would learn while they're young, that it would settle into their minds and hearts, that they would become wise to the things of God, that they might see how wonderful God's commands are. And that would lead them, little by little, to the Savior himself, that they might indeed receive forgiveness of sins and might enter into that most wonderful relationship with God and have the privilege of being called the children of God. And God taking them up in his arms, to have that peaceful relationship with God rather than an alienated relationship where we fear God because we don't obey him. But not only is this is a command of God, but it's underlined by the fact that a warning comes with it. A warning comes with it. So we're to obey our parents, for this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. In other words, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So there are consequences. So when Moses brought God's word to his people, he stressed how important it was by saying, "Today I lay before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life." When we ignore God's word, we endanger our souls. People don't always let that sink into their minds and hearts. They think hearing God's word and responding to it provides for us options. We can either agree with it, or we can modify it in some way, or we just can ignore it, as though there's no consequences. I mean, are we teaching our children that's the way life is? You know, when the government has laws and we know the laws, then we just treat them as advice. We just treat them whether they serve our purposes. And if they don't serve our purposes, we're quite within our rights to just ignore them or modify them. Well, that's a dangerous view to have. And God warns us that that is not the case with his commands. When he calls us with his commands to act and behave in a certain way, then you can be sure that he has our well-being in mind. Because when we disobey God, we are going on a dangerous path. And that danger is shown by not only the consequences I referred to in terms of a stubborn son, but also it's put in terms of that you may dwell long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Here was symbolism of God's kingdom. They were coming into God's kingdom. And he's saying, look, if you don't act in these ways, if you don't obey my commands, ultimately you're going to be expelled from the land, either by death, as in the example that I gave, or they don't live in the land anymore. So there was everything to lose by disobeying God. But of course, if we don't value that, if we don't value a relationship with God, as Esau so terribly put it, what is a birthright to me? I mean, how does a birthright help me? I can stand on my own two feet. I can take care of myself. I don't need a birthright. And then you wonder, what was all the wailing about when you lost it, when you lost the blessing to your younger brother Jacob? Why was all that wailing for if it means nothing? No. It means everything in the world. And so when we reject God's commands, then we put ourselves in the position of Esau and say, what is this birthright to me? What advantage does it bring me? What do I, what don't I have that this will give to me? I have everything. I'm fine. I can take care of myself. That's the way people talk. That's the way the world talks. They don't need God. You need God because you need a crutch. You can't stand up on your own two feet. But no, we can handle it. And of course, that's a total lie. They can't handle it. Life is without meaning, without purpose. Life is a vanity of vanities without God. They are without God and they're without hope in this world. And yet they talk like they have everything in their control. And they don't. They absolutely don't. And so God warns us, don't set this commandment aside. Don't ignore it. There's going to be consequences. Consequences of death. No, choose life. Choose obedience. Humble yourselves before God. You see, just as parents love their children, and even when they act in very terrible ways, and consistently so, our hearts still go out to them. I mean, like the father of the prodigal son, we're all always ready to see that change and embrace them. And we wait and wait. Well, God is like that too. God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He desires that we obey Him. He desires that we come to Him and that we take His word into our hearts and that we come to Him and that we are received by Him. That we can stand in His presence without fear and judgment because we've flown to Him for help. And we've embraced His word and we desire with all of our hearts to walk obediently before Him. As I say, not only is it a command of God that merits our serious consideration and giving of ourselves with all that we have, with all of our mind and strength and will to be obedient to it. Knowing that in this way, as we follow God, as we entrust ourselves to His word, He will lead us to be wise unto salvation. He will lead us into blessings that we can't begin to think and estimate. But the other persuasive arguments that are given in terms of this command is that God is asking you, commanding you, to obey your parents. He's not asking you to obey those wicked rulers or people that have authority over you and they couldn't care less for you and they abuse you and they say all kinds of things about you and exploit you. He's not saying be obedient to them, is he? No, he's asking us that we be obedient to our parents. I mean, like kindergarten, that's the ABC of being obedient to God. He starts low so that we can build on these things. It's to our parents. Just think about that. When you hear God say, honor your mother and father, then think, what do they do for me? Not 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day or one afternoon or two mornings or whatever it is. Every day, 24 hours a day, they take care of you. 24 hours a day, you are on their minds and on their hearts. You are the most precious thing to them. And though you may be rude to them, though you may not respect them as you should, they never falter in their love and care for you. That's who he's asking you to be obedient to. I mean, isn't that reasonable? How wonderfully God has put it. To start you out there so that you might learn. And so think about what is it that you do for somebody else that would match that or come anywhere close to that? I mean, if you did those things for somebody else, you would expect something in return. You would expect eternal gratitude for them for putting yourself out to take care of them. But when was the last time you got a letter from your parents to say, hey, by the way, you know, it's been 18 years we've been taking care of you. Where's the gratitude? Never expect that, do you? I mean, you don't get that from them. They don't say, well, you know, it's been 10, 12 years. It's about time you took the reins of your life in your own hands. No, no. Even when children are married and they're out the home, the hearts of parents continue to be taken up with their well-being. It's these that are the first people that have authority over you. And God wants you to honor them. He wants you to care for them. They are your first leaders, but they are your loving leaders. They are the sacrificial leaders. And if you look at them, in terms of the Christian parents, they are examples to you of what God does for you every day. This is what your Father in heaven does for you. This is a way that He cares for you. Sometimes, even as adults, we might say, well, how is God taking care of me? Look at this, look at this, look at that. Well, in the same way that your parents took care of you, everything wasn't smooth, everything didn't go rosy in terms of the situations that you face and conditions that you met, but you know that they cared for you. Well, here in that earthly form, we have an appreciation as we grow of our relationship to God, our Father in heaven. He takes care of us. Everything may not appear so wonderful to us when we look at the way things are, just like we look at that with our parents, and they tell us to do certain things, and we can't quite understand why are you doing that? Why are you cramping my style? Why are you making it so difficult for me? And we have all kinds of questions, but one thing is for sure, they have nothing to gain from you. You have to gain from them. Their purposes are always for your well-being. And it's there that we learn how to live under the guidance and the providence of God. Everything doesn't go so wonderfully there either. We have difficulties in life, just like Job. But his God was one that watched over him. He knew that for sure. But he struggled, didn't he? Well, if we're to learn how to live under God's providence and be grateful, then that's going to come from living under our parents and being grateful to them, even though we face difficulties, difficulties in our relationship. But we have that trust in them that they care for us. And we see that trust every day as they provide for all of our needs, even as we see it with our Father in heaven. Every day He provides us all that we need for life and godliness. And it's for us to be patient, as it says about providence in the Catechism. Patient when things don't go so well. We need to be thankful to them, grateful when things are going well. And for the future, we're to have this inner peace that our parents are watching over us. This is where God wants us to learn these wonderful truths and be equipped. But in the case of parents, they are imperfect leaders. And so the Catechism prepares us for that. And it says, look, your parents are not perfect. They are not God. I mean, they represent Him so that we on our childish level can understand by this visual what God the Father does for us, but there's a world of difference between our parents and our Father in heaven. So our parents are going to be imperfect. But for that reason, you ought not to say, well, I'm not going to obey them because they're imperfect. No, even then, we need to respect them. Even when they discipline us, we're to respect them. Even when they deny us the things that we cry out to them for, we are to respect them. Because let me tell you, there are going to be times when you call out to God for certain things and He does not give it. It's going to be some times when you pray to God for healing and it doesn't come. When you pray to God for resolution of tensions and difficulties and they don't materialize straight away. Not that He's imperfect. But what are you going to do? Are you going to get mad at God? You're going to get frustrated with God? No. We have to learn here in our families that even though our parents are imperfect, we still trust them. So that in life, when difficulties come, we trust God. We continue to love Him and to serve Him. And finally, we're to obey this command because it is good for us. You see, there's no reason or purpose that parents have in training up their children other than that it's going to be well for them. They want the best for their children. And Christian parents, we know what the best is, and that is that you have a relationship with God, that we pass on this responsibility that we have, that we can handle every aspect of it, but we do know the one that can. So we bring our children from us, wean them off us, so that we can bring them to God, as Paul says, I betroth you to Christ. That's our purpose as parents. Not to make them dependent on us for everything, like they can't make a decision apart from us, even when they get older. They always have to check with us. No, no, no. We don't want them to be hooked on us. We want them to learn that there's someone that takes their burdens. And that someone is our Father in heaven. And so they need to learn to go to Him. They need to flee to Him. They need to pray to Him. They need to know that they have a Father in heaven, in whom there are no imperfections. There are no limitations upon Him. We can trust Him fully for everything. Now, is there anything more valuable than that? I mean, what a wonderful advantage we have that God puts us on this path that will make us wise unto salvation, that will bring us into a relationship with the Almighty God, that He will watch over everything. He will deliver us from the devil himself through His Son and give us such an eternal future, the blessings in His presence to dwell with Him for eternity. I mean, what a blessing that is. And we were speaking about that this morning in terms of election. Now, when we receive the blessings of the covenant, this is what they are. It's a relationship with God. It's a lasting and an eternal relationship that we have with God. But there are means by which we get to that that God has laid out. And if we follow them, and if we obey Him, and we pray to Him, and we see Him and His blessings through our parents, through other leaders in society, then we get to know Him more and more. So our young years are not wasted. They're not unproductive. Nothing happens. We're just waiting to come to maturity when we can do something. No, no, no. Don't waste these years. They prepare us. And God has wonderfully prepared for us these blessings that will result in us having this wonderful relationship with God, a wonderful provision as He washes over us and He guides us, just like our parents used to do, but in a more perfect and comprehensive way. But it starts in the home. It starts with your parents. And so if we desire to move forward, if we desire for God to lead us into this wonderful path, to know Him and to believe Him and to trust Him with all of our life. And this is where the foundation stones are set. So when God says, obey your parents, it's not some trick by parents that some people say to have control of their children. No. It's born out of the desire of God to see us follow the path of life, a path that will lead to Him, and a path that will provide for us a most wonderful environment, a wonderful relationship in which we will serve Him and know Him and enjoy Him forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you care for each and every one of us, and that you care for our children, and how grateful we are that you do care for them, and that you have provided the ways and means by which to nurture them, to guide them, to instruct them, so that they might know you and love you. And our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us as parents to be faithful in teaching them, lovingly teaching them and guiding them with patience and love, so that they grow more and more in the knowledge and the wisdom of you, our Father in heaven, and of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father in heaven, we commit each and every one of our youth that they would indeed embrace your wonderful truth, the gospel, and become wise unto salvation and enter into this most blessed relationship, life under your care, not only for this life, but for eternity. Our Father in heaven, we pray then for our covenant families, we pray for our children, and Lord, we just pray that you would give us the strength and the wisdom that we need to be good parents, to have healthy families, and Lord, in that environment for our children to be blessed. Our Father, hear our prayers, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnal number 240.